Hello everybody, this is Guy Delabre's message for Sunday the 30th of April, the day after the resurrection of Christ. The reading is taken from John chapter 20 verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hand. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Another text that tells us about the behaviour of the disciples in the presence of the risen Jesus. The evangelist John tells us that despite the testimony of Mary of Magdala in the morning, the disciples are fearful in the evening. They lock the doors of the house in which they took refuge. This evangelist shows us that it was not easy to believe. He even specifies that one of them, Thomas, took 8 days to agree to this idea. The risen Jesus has not yet had much effect on their faith, on their vision of the future. And yet Jesus expects a lot of them. It is not for nothing that he chose them and taught them for 3 years. This demonstration of power, exerted on the tombstone and on a body placed in the tomb, is not insignificant. Jesus is therefore going to do what it takes to ensure that what he started has a follow-up. The challenge now is to convince the disciples. Jesus expects a lot from him. At first, nothing resists him. The stone of the tomb, as heavy as it is, did not constitute an obstacle to his exit. Here, the locks do not prevent him from entering. And from now on, they, like us, must become aware of several consequences of the resurrection of Jesus. They are reassured. This greeting to them accompanies the sound of the sacrifice. This greeting acts as a key to open their hearts. If they were somehow locked up, they are now free, reassured, strengthened. They are joyful. They are strong. The same greeting that he addresses to them a second time accompanies his words to send them out. It will act as a second key that opens the door to the world. If they were closed in on themselves, Jesus frees them from the fear of outsiders to rescue them. nothing comparable to his own. Verse 21. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And this mission cannot be fulfilled without the help of the Holy Spirit. Here I'm told of a sweet personal sanctity. Jesus breathes from them. He breathes the Holy Spirit into them. Verse 22. They therefore acquire spiritual authority. If they understand that they have a duty to fulfill a ministry that Jesus can no longer fulfill, they also have a power similar to his by the Holy Spirit who dwells in being himself. It is not by human reasoning that we are convinced, but it is the action of the Holy Spirit in them to the point of being heard. Refuse to forgive anyone's sins or sins of forgiveness. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. At first sight, the Christian is speaking prayer. Would it be possible to give one self-permission, not to give hope of salvation to someone who finds themselves charged with guilt or guilt? Find two similar passages in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 16. Verse 19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And again in Matthew 18, verse 18. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The translation of the French Sower's Bible version gives clues as to understanding John chapter 20, verse 23. This version in the French Sower's Bible says, those to whom you forgive their sins will indeed be acquitted, and those to whom you retain them will remain charged with them. In fact, a careful reading of the text leads us to understand that this the disciples are responsible for informing anyone of the act of redemption to which each is entitled. It would be unfair to act in a biased, one-sided way, deciding who should be given, be forgiven, and who should not. Grace must be available to all. Judgment belongs only to God. No one can claim the right to forgive sins. All of this would be contrary to Scripture. Only God can forgive sins. Only God can and will be able to pronounce an ultimate judgment. But the disciples, who would they be if they gave themselves this possibility? Far be it from them to pronounce a judgment or to attribute grace on the cheap. Here, the translators of the French Sower's Bible version have chosen to write, those to whom you forgive their sins will indeed be acquitted, which allows us to hear that the words of the disciples are given to confirm God's will to save his creatures, all his creatures. Know that is given to you to make it understood that everyone can be forgiven. Also know that these are not words to be spoken lightly, because you may also find it difficult to speak of forgiveness of sins to some. Hence this burden that will remain on them. In fact, one essential thing that Jesus wants the disciples, who are gathered in the house, to understand is that they are going to be commissioned to confirm that God has indeed come in Jesus to free man from his sin, from the weight of his sin. And as a result, they do not have to act in the same way as certain specialists of the law who, in their time, increased the burden of their compatriots by always demanding more works and by adding prescriptions. As we read, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees," said Jesus. And therefore we ourselves must use wisdom and draw our intelligence from the Holy Spirit
so as not to have a testimony or a guilt-ridden or moralizing speech to the detriment of the grace of God. The disciples are entrusted with a mission, inhabited by the spiritual authority given by the Holy Spirit, just like us, that of offering the blessing of God in Jesus. Jesus expects a lot from them. Jesus still expects a lot from us. Yes, from now on, the disciples, just like us, must become aware of the consequences of the resurrection of Jesus. Don't be afraid, but be joyful. God has deployed his power to work in the hearts of his disciples in order to have liberated disciples. Fulfill a mission similar to that of Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. This mission touches on a salvation without common measure in the world. Use the power that dwells in the heart of God. Prove to all men that it is indeed Jesus who came to free us from all the burdens that sin can make us carry. As Paul would say in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in the one they have not heard of? And how will they hear about it if there is no one preaching? And how shall there be preachers if they are not sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce peace, of those who announce good news. With this experience of the disciples, it is pointed out to us what Jesus wants, what he expects from them, and consequently, what he expects from us. A quick reading makes it possible to hear Jesus' greeting of peace twice, and even a third time 8 days later in the presence of Thomas. The context is first of all that of an atmosphere of fear. The disciples have locked the doors. But very quickly, in the presence of Jesus, this atmosphere will change. Everyone will be able to catch their breath and lower their blood pressure. We can then understand that in the presence of Jesus, there is no reason to be afraid. And even that every disciple is called to come out of his place of comfort. The reason is simple. A message of forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed. It is not an easy proclamation because only God can forgive sins. But it is absolutely necessary to make this message heard for the good of many, and at the risk that some will not adhere to it. This is why each disciple cannot venture to proclaim this message without the help of the Holy Spirit. It is he who provides authority against all kinds of evil authorities. It is he who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John chapter 16, verses 8 to 11. Of sin which leads to faith, that leads to forgiveness. Of justice, because Jesus will no longer be there to talk about it or to exercise it. Of judgment, to ensure that the ruler of this world does not have the last word. He is still the one who teaches and is responsible for continuing the teaching of Christ. It is therefore from him that the disciple will draw the right attitude, the appropriate word, unlike any other teacher, especially many Pharisees or scribes who maintained fear, the fear of doing wrong, a moralizing and excessive speech in prescriptions. Jesus did not come to judge, but to save. The disciple will not be able to assume to himself the right to judge, but will have the delicate mission of speaking about the grace of God. Until this phase, this capital stage of the resurrection of Jesus, many, including the disciples, could live in fear or in hesitation and withdraw. Since the time of the resurrection of Jesus, now is the time to rejoice, to live reassured, and to go and say that sin and its author are vanquished. Challenges there will be. Our faith will sometimes seem bankrupt. Let us hear the word addressed to the disciples, his greeting. Peace be with you. And let us be bold in his name, where he places us, where he sends us, to emphasize that God is still ready to forgive. Amen.